Evening, folks. Good to see you here tonight on this Sunday evening service. And I was thinking, in these days in which we're living, there are a lot of folks who will come on Sunday morning, but they won't be back Sunday night. And then it gets even thinner on Wednesday night, you know. Evidently, there are a lot of church-going people who are like that fella I heard who was on the airplane. And you know, if you've ever been on an airplane, that the stewardess always comes by to make sure you got your seatbelt buckled before you take off. And she noticed he didn't have his buckled. And she said to him, "Sir, you need to buckle your seatbelt." He said, "Lady," he said, "I'm Superman and I don't need a seatbelt." Well, she looked at him and she said, "Sir, Superman doesn't need an airplane." Yeah. You know, that fellow's reasoning is about like a lot of these folks that don't believe they need to go to church on Sunday night and Wednesday night. Yeah, they think they're Superman or Superwoman. They're going to find out different if they live long enough. Huh? I've been saved almost 20 years, and I tell you, I need the wonderful fellowship with those of like precious faith more so now than ever before. I mean that. I don't know what I'd do if I couldn't get together with God's people. And I'm glad to be here tonight. I trust God will help me to be a blessing and help to you. Now, I've got to do something tonight that I don't normally do, and that's hurry. I realize we've got the Lord's Supper and then a little time after, and so I'm going to try to hurry just a little bit. Now, I was telling my wife, you know, I said, "Sandra, we haven't made available to these folks our new prayer card that we've had printed up." And I was up with Brother Reno in Maryland, Brother Bearden, and he asked me, he said, "Brother, do you have any slides you would like to show the people?" I said, "I don't use slides." He said, "You know, most missionaries use slides." I said, "I know that." I said, "But I just don't use them." He said, "Well, that's okay." He said, "Well, do you have any literature or a display table or anything you'd like to put out?" And I said, "No, sir, don't have any of that." He said, "Well, I'm sure you've got some prayer cards you'd like to leave with the folks." And I said, "No, brother, I don't even have any prayer cards." He looked at me and he said, "Well, what kind of missionary are you anyway?" I said, "Well, there are a lot of folks trying to work that out, and I wouldn't be able to tell you." But anyway, after that, I got to thinking about that, you know, and so Sandra and I decided to have some prayer cards made up. It's been, well, it'll be almost 13 years since we had any printed up till we got these printed up. And we got 3,000 of them printed up. 3,000. Now, you'd realize, wouldn't you, that that is a limited edition. And I got to print up in baseball card size or thereabouts. You know, like a lot of folks like to collect baseball cards. And, you know, if I still had some that I had when I was a boy, they'd be worth a lot of money. Yeah. Somehow or other, I just threw them away, you know. But if I'd hung on to them, Brother Fritz, I'd be packing a big wad right here now if I'd hung on. Yeah. But I didn't. Well, what I'm going to do is make available to you this new prayer card that I've had printed up in limited edition. I'm going to make that available to you. And if you want one of them, after the service, you see my wife. She'll have some. And she'll give you one. And who knows? You hang on to it one day, it might be worth something. Especially if I can get you to do for me what I'm going to try to get you to do for me tonight in the message that I want to share with you. I'm hoping you'll take one and pray for us. But even if you're not going to pray, go ahead and take one. It might be worth some money one day. And if you want me to autograph it, I'll sign it on the back. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. You know, everybody's got to have a gimmick, don't you? I'm finding, though, I use that from time to time since I got these cards printed up, and I think more people take them after they hear that little spiel than they do me leaving them laying around. I'm not going to leave them laying around. If it's worth anything, I wouldn't leave them laying around now, would I? So you see Sandra, and she'll give you one. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, this is what I believe the Lord had me to share with you tonight. I was a little bit hesitant about sharing this with you, but I do believe this is what God wants me to give you tonight. And I'm wanting to encourage you to do something for me and for my wife and my two daughters, especially in these next few months. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 11, the Bible says, "Ye also helping together by prayer for us." Now notice those words there, helping together by prayer. Helping together by prayer. Now I believe, and rightly so, that prayer is a priceless blood-bought privilege of every child of God. The Apostle Paul was a praying man. He valued prayer. He realized that he needed God and God's good hand and blessing on him in the ministry that God had called him to. He prayed for himself, and he also encouraged others to pray for him. And here we have an example of that. He tells the church at Corinth, "You can help me and those that are laboring with me by praying for us." You see, folks, prayer can do anything that God can do. Prayer can go anywhere that God can go. Prayer can know anything that God knows and is pleased to reveal to that person who seeks His face in believing prayer. Paul understood that. He realized that without God, he could do nothing. But when he takes hold of God and brings God into earthly human affairs, then he realizes that he can do anything that God can do. He tells the church at Corinth, "You can't go with me. You can't be there to labor with me physically in the work. You may not be able to help me financially, but you can work and labor together, helping by prayer." And he encourages them to pray for him. Now I got to thinking about this and about the need of prayer and how we ought to put a priority on prayer as never before in these days. And I got to thinking about my own praying, and I think my praying is probably typical of some of your praying. I pray too generally, you know. A lot of blanket praying I do if I'm not careful. And I think a lot of God's people do that kind of praying. You know, the prayer would go something like this. Lord, I want you to save all the lost, heal all the sick, encourage all the saved, bless all the missionaries in Jesus' name. Amen. And then we get up and think, my, what prayer warriors we are. No, you're not. You're just a hypocrite. Be honest about it. Huh? Of course, that's a hard thing for a hypocrite to do, isn't it? Be honest. Hey, that's not praying. I tell you what, when I'm sick in body and I ask folks to pray, I don't want them to pray for all the sick. I want them to pray for me. Yeah, and get very specific. If it's my leg, pray for my leg. My head, pray for my head. Oh, yes, when it comes to me and my needs, I want folks to be very specific. And I think that's the way we ought to pray. We ought to pray particularly. How are we going to know if we got an answer if we don't? You know, I got to looking here and I found that Paul made a number of prayer requests in these letters that the Holy Ghost of God used him to write. And there are three of them that I want to point out to you tonight. And I trust that God will bring them to mind in coming days as you make a note of it. Colossians chapter 4, please, verse 2 and 3. Now, I learned a long time ago that a short pencil is better than a long memory. So get your short pencil out, will you? Make a little note here of these verses that I'm giving you, because I want you to recall them in coming days, you that know the Lord Jesus. And I want you to pray these prayer requests on my behalf. Colossians 4, verse 2 and 3. Continue in prayer, says Paul to the church at Colossae, and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Withal praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ. Now here's Paul's prayer request to these saints at Colossae. Pray for me, he said, that God will give me an open door. Pray that God will give me an open door. Now, as I travel from church to church back here in America, folks ask me, they say, where are you based in Australia? Do you have a house over there? Do you live a certain place? Well, I said, I have a place that I'm going back to. In fact, two places I'm going back to visit. But no, I don't have a particular place. I haven't built a fort over there, Brother Smith, and trying to hold it. No, I haven't. I'm trying to go as God directs. And I'm looking to God, when I get back to Australia, to give me an open door. To show me exactly where He wants me to labor. Now, you that have read the book of Acts, you know that in Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas left on their second missionary journey, the first for Silas, second for Paul. And they went around to visit churches where they'd already been. Paul had, and then they wanted to go into new territory. The Bible said they tried to go to Asia, and the Spirit of God said, no, closed door. They turned to go to Bithynia, and the Spirit suffered them not. They came to Troas. That night in Troas, Paul had a vision. A man of Macedonia stood saying, come over into Macedonia and help. Immediately, Paul and those that traveled with him realized that God had opened the door in Macedonia. They headed out, went to the chief city of that colony, Philippi. Made inquiry, found that prayer was made down by the riverside on the Sabbath day. When they got down there, they found just a little handful of women and some children. Paul sat down and began to preach to them. In Acts 16:14, we're told there was a woman there named Lydia whose heart the Lord opened. And she listened to what Paul had to say. And she was saved by the grace of God. And other folks were saved, and a church was established in Philippi. Now, do you see that? Paul, looking for the open door, finds it. And when he goes to the open door, what does he find? He finds people whom God is dealing with, whom God is opening hearts to receive the gospel message. Now, listen, I'd be a complete idiot to go to the outback of Australia, where there are nothing but kangaroos, emus, lizards, and snakes. Out there, where the Australian calls a whoop-whoop, whatever in the world that is. I'd do just as well going out there and preaching to those animals and expecting God to save people as I would going to a heavily populated area where God has not directed me and try to preach the gospel. I need God to give me an open door. You know, there are two ditches you can get in this business of trying to do what God left us here to do, and that's be a witness for Him. You can get in the ditch of presumption, or you can get in the ditch of hypocrisy. You say, how do you know, preacher? I've been in both of them. In fact, I spent most of my Christian life in the ditch of presumption and in the ditch of hypocrisy. Let me tell you what the ditch of presumption is. It's when you first get saved normally and you've memorized the Romans Road and a few verses out of John's Gospel and you've got your pocket full of tracts and you don't have much sense, very little at all, but you got a lot of zeal and you're just looking for somebody who'll open their mouth wide enough for you to stuff the Gospel down their throat. You're not praying about anything. You're just going out there and save. Brother Fritz said this morning in Sunday school, he thought everybody wanted to get saved after he got saved. You know, I did too, brother. I thought, man, as good as this is, everybody's going to want to get saved. But, you know, I didn't try that very long, really, when I think about it, until I realized that I somehow or another needed God to help me. Let me give you a little illustration. And we're not on the radio tonight, are we? No, we're not on, okay. I wouldn't want to offend anybody, and I hope you won't take this, but I'm just going to relate what was said to me. I was working at Watts Bar, you know, I'd just been saved, and boy, they loved me down there. I worked on all three shifts in about 8 different crews in 10 months. They loved me. Oh, yeah. I wasn't down there to work. I was down there to witness. Yes! Well, anyway, one night, third shift, I had this fella cornered, and I was telling him everything I knew. I was telling him what God done for me and what God do for him. I took him down the Romans Road. I was telling him, I mean everything. It took me about 3 or 4 minutes. And he stood there and looked at me with his arm folded like this, and he'd look at me, he'd kind of nod and say, And he'd look at me and look away, look at me and look away, looking right over my shoulder. Well, when I got finished, I'm waiting on him now to see what he's going to say. And he looked at me and he said, you know something? He said, I've been thinking while you've been talking. Well, I thought to myself, that's good. But it wasn't. He said, you know, I've been thinking. He said, and he pointed right over my shoulder. He said, do you see that buck standing over there? Well, when he said buck, I was thinking deer. And when I turned, I didn't see a deer. I saw a big black man. And when I turned back at him, I looked at him. I looked back again. I looked back at him. And I said, what? He said, do you see that buck standing over there? And I said, are you talking about that black man? He said, yes, I'm talking about that black fellow over there. I said, sure, I see. He said, you know, I've been thinking. He said, I believe he could be registered. I said, what? He said, I believe he could be registered. He said, look at him. He's black as a lump of coal. He doesn't have any white blood in him. I believe he could be registered. He's pure bred. Well, I'm going to tell you, it dumbfounded me. Here I am trying to win this man to faith in Christ, and the whole time I'm talking to him, all he's thinking about is some black man he thinks could be registered. God spoke to my heart, and he told me very plain. He said, son, you can have all kind of zeal, memorize the whole Bible. Not going to do you 1 ounce of good unless I go before and prepare the way. You say that's Calvinism. Well, you call it whatever you want to. It's Bible doctrine. God! It's got to go the way and open the door. He had to open my heart's door. I heard all kind of preaching until God came and preached to me. And none of it ever penetrated beyond my outward ear. Well, that's presumption. Huh? Easy believism. Just go out there and get them to pray a little prayer. Name it and claim it, huh? And go and live like the devil. Don't worry about you going to heaven. No, they're not. They're going to hell, and most of those people that's preaching that trash going to hell. Oh, yes, friend. We're in bad shape in this hour because of that. Well, I got out of that ditch. Praise God. Got in the middle of the road and run out the road in the ditch on the other side. You ever done that? You ever run out? You ever run the ditch on this side of the road, and you got it out, man, and before you knew it, you was in the ditch over there. Well, it didn't take me long, and I was in the ditch over there. You say, what? That's the ditch of hypocrisy. That's when you realize you need God, and then you get very pious. And then you say, oh, God, bring them in. You're not going to go anywhere. You're not going to give out a gospel tract. You're not going to witness. You're more spiritual than that. You're going to pray them in. You're a real prayer warrior now. I tell you, that's where a lot of Baptists are in this hour. Huh? Yeah, there's a lot of Baptists in this hour. They're not going to get out there and go after anybody. They're going to pray them in. Why, you're just a hypocrite and you know it. If you cared anything about them, you'd pray and you'd go, you see. You'd get in the middle of the road. Pray! Well, a fella asked me one time, he said, are you a Calvinist or are you an Arminian? I said, well, when I pray, I'm a Calvinist. And when I preach, I'm an Arminian. He looked at me kind of funny like, oh yeah, when I pray, I know it's all God. Oh, yeah. And when I preach, well, it's all you. If you don't repent and believe the gospel, you're going to hell. God's not going to knock you down and drag you up here and save you. If you don't repent and turn from your wickedness and trust the Lord Jesus, you're going to hell. A young fellow told me in Chattanooga one time, he said he'd been working with a fellow that was real strong Calvinist. And he told me, he said, well, he said, I'm going to tell you what I believe. Now, him a lost man. He said, I believe if I'm going to be saved, I'm going to be saved. If I'm not going to be saved, I'm not going to be saved. I said, well, I can tell you which one you are. He said, you can. I said, yeah, you're not going to be saved. I said, you're going to hell. He said, well, I believe God chose certain ones, and if I'm one of those select chosen ones of God, I'll make it to heaven. I said, well, you're not one of them. You're going to hell. I said, as long as you believe that, you're going to hell. Well, praise God, it shook him up. And he realized he better do what God told him to do, and that's repent and believe the gospel. Hey, I'm praying for God to give me an open door. Why? Because I know I need God. I know I need God. I know I need to be where God wants me to be. Not just someplace I want to be. Huh? Oh, yeah. Well, I don't like the climate there. I don't like the people there. Yeah, well, when did you become Lord of the harvest anyway? Last time I checked, the Lord told me I was still just a laborer. I thought I'd work my way up a little bit, but no, he said, you still just a laborer in the vineyard. An open door. I'm praying for that open door. Will you pray with me? Pray God will give me an open door. Ephesians chapter 6. You know, I told you I was trying to hurry, but I'm not doing too well. Maybe I'll get better as I go. Ephesians 6. Now, you know in Ephesians chapter 6, we have the armor of God. We ought to put it on prayerfully. And when we get it on, according to verse 18, we ought to be praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now notice Paul's prayer request. 19 and 20. And for me, he says, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now do you see it here? Here's a prayer request of Paul to the church at Ephesus. Pray, said, that God will give me an open mouth. Pray that God will give me an open mouth. Now, how ought the gospel to be preached? According to verse 19, boldly. According to verse 20, boldly. Boldly. That's how the gospel ought to be preached. Boldly. Now, don't apologize for witnessing, giving out the gospel. God called me to preach. I hadn't even graduated from high school. I said, Lord, I can't preach. And the Lord said, I didn't call you to preach because you could. Didn't have anything to do with it. I said, Lord, I took zeros in school. I wouldn't get up and give oral book reports. Now, you know all about that. Didn't make any difference. God called me to preach. I surrendered to preach, and I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm going to preach as you enable me, and I want you to enable me and deliver me from that sickening sin of young preachers. I've been saved about 5 or 6 months when God called me to preach, and I surrendered, and I'd heard a number of young preachers. And I tell you, I used to get so sick of it. They'd get up, they'd get their Bible open, and then they'd stand there for 5 or 10 minutes telling me and everybody else why they shouldn't be standing there. They as immature, hadn't been saved long. And they were ignorant. There's a lot of other people there that knew more than them, and they was ignorant, didn't know much, and I'd have to listen to that. Oh, I was sick of it. You know, I found out a long time ago, you don't have to tell folks you're ignorant. All you got to do is talk a little bit. And they're smart enough to work it out by themselves. Now, you take a person that gets up and talks like that, you know what they're doing? They're putting on a cloak of humility that in reality is a cloak of pride. Oh, yes. And they're getting up and acting like, well, I know I don't deserve to be up here. Well, if you don't deserve to be, get out of the way and let somebody get up that's got something from God. Now, I know that folks don't, you know, I know folks don't like how I preach, but I, you know, I just remind myself that you didn't call me. And you ain't paying me. You know? I mean, I hope you like it. And I hope you pray for me. But I ain't gonna lose no sleep. No. You know, I preached this morning. I preached blunt and hard and plain. I meant to. I wasn't trying to be loving and gentle and meek and mild. I was trying to hit lost people with the truth. Shake them! Folks are going to hell! They need bold preaching. Boldly. You know what's wrong with us in this hour? We got a lot of greenhouse Christians. Greenhouse. You know, there are a lot of things that grow in a greenhouse won't grow in the real world. Oh, no. I mean, there's some plants that will just thrive and flourish in the greenhouse, but they can't make it in the real world. You put them out there in the real world, and they'll wither and die. And there are a lot of folks, you know, they're good church house Christians. Oh, they look good in the church house. But you get them out there in the devil's territory, and let them have a try. Oh, they just wither. Moan and groan, cry and complain. Huh? You know, I got in the habit since I went to Australia. I got in the habit of when I get up to preach, looking the congregation over. I even do it here. Of course, I know, you know, I've seen about all you all before, you know. But I get up here and I look everybody over. You know? Did you know that? Did you realize that when I was up here, I was looking you over? Checking you out. You see, in Australia, Brother Mike will verify what I'm saying. Sister Marguerite. In Australia, you know, we don't have air-conditioned buildings. It's hot most of the year over there. And we got ceiling fans. What we do is we open all the windows, open all the doors. And then we try to get folks to sing loud. And then we preach loud. Because they're usually in those places where we try to get a place to meet. There are people wandering around on the outside. And if you sing loud and preach loud, you can attract them. And they'll come. Listen. And over there, we always, after every service, we always have a cup of coffee, cup of tea, and a biscuit. Ah, you know, a biscuit over there is a cookie. Not a real biscuit, but a cookie. And that's a little custom. I've never tried to teach them any different. In fact, I kind of like it. After the service, we have coffee and tea and biscuits. And then those folks that have hung around outside, we try to get them to come in, you know, for a cup of coffee, cup of tea, a biscuit. Talk to them about the Lord Jesus, about their need of being saved. I tell you, we have some interesting services that way, you know. I never would use this building in Australia. It wouldn't be any good to me. Have to knock all them windows out, put some in. Yes. We have interesting services, though. I was preaching one morning on repentance. And a fellow came running in about, I don't know how far I was in the message, 10, 15 minutes maybe. And he came flying in the back doorway and come about halfway down to me. He had his hands up like this. And he was saying, if I remember right, and it's in a kind of a pitched voice, I'm a little hoarse tonight. Let me see if I can get it. I repent. About like that. Right in the middle of my message. Well, what am I going to do now? You know, there he is. I've been praying, God help me. And there he stands, mocking me, laughing at me. Well, he got my attention, and he got everybody else's attention. Not only by what he was saying, but by how he was dressed. He had a nice earring in each ear. And not those little studs now. You know these young fellows today, some of these old fellows too, I see them with these little studs in their ears. You know? Well, he didn't have those. He had those nice, big, hang-you-down kind of earrings. Big. And he had a dress on. I've seen this fellow many times, and he always wears a dress. And he heard some good solid preaching somewhere, because I'd never seen him in a dress that wasn't at least to his knee. Oh, yes. And there he stands now. I repent. Well, I just asked God, I said, Lord, what do I need to do? He said, well, he's come here. I said, you might well preach to him a little bit. So if I remember right, all I said to him was just a few words along the line, that's right, young man. You need to repent. God's upon the day in which he's going to judge the world in righteousness. Everybody that doesn't repent is going to find themselves in hell. Well, you know, when I started preaching to him, he didn't like that too well. He turned around, said some choice words, and went out the door. You know what I started finding out in Australia? I found that I need God to give me an open mouth. I need more than 3 points and a good little outline. I need a message from God. Hey, you find out you need God when that woman comes through the back door cussing like a sailor with a German shepherd dog beside her as big as a Shetland pony. You find out you need God when that man stands up, throws his chair against the wall, tells you what he thinks about you, where you can go. You find out you need God. You find out you need God when that woman comes in just as the service finishes, and she wants to know where that loud mouth screaming preacher is that disturbed their little political meeting they're having next door. She wants a word with him. Well, I knew what to do in that case. It wasn't me preaching that night. Another fella, I just directed her to him. But it is a little distressing when she turns up in her underwear to berate the preacher for loud mouth preaching. Oh, yeah. I told you it gets hot over there. And you know, if you had a political meeting, it's bound to get a little warmer, isn't it? What am I saying? I could tell you a lot more. I could let Mike stand up and tell you a lot more. Let Sandra tell you some more. Let my girls tell you more. Things happen over there when you're preaching the gospel in the devil's territory and you find out that you need God. You need an open mouth. Oh, you know, man, it ain't hard to preach here, but I told Brother Bearden, I said, you know, I didn't have any real liberty this morning to preach, nor did I have a great deal of hindrance to preach. It's just pretty much, you know, whatever. I mean, you're a nice-looking crowd of folks, you know. I've been looking you over tonight while I've been preaching, and some of you are a little bored. But about the most I've got to worry about tonight, I do believe, is that somebody's going to go sleep on me. Other than that, I ain't got much to worry about. Hey, you know I stand most anything but deadness. Oh, look. I tell you, I'm looking forward to where God's going to send me, and I'm asking God to give me an open mouth. Hey, I want to get in a place where the devil gets stirred up. I'm not looking for something ready-made to my hand. Hey, I want to go where nobody else wants to go. Don't you? Don't you? Invade the devil's territory. Thank God we got everything we need to put him on the run, to make his knees smack together like old Belshazzar did on that table in Daniel chapter 5. You and I have the power of God to do the work of God. And I'm praying, God, give me an open mouth. Boy, I need God. I've been trying to preach for 19 years, but I need God. I realize I need God more tonight than I have ever realized it. I need God. I need God to help me and use me. I need God to give me the ability to preach in the power of the Holy Ghost of God. Boldly! I'll tell you what. There have been times when I've reacted in the flesh. That's as bad as cowering down. No. No, what we need is Holy Ghost boldness. That's what you need, and that's what I need. I want you to pray that God will give it to me, an open mouth. Now, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1. I want you to pray that God will give me an open door Colossians 4:3. Pray that God will give me an open mouth. Ephesians 6:19 and 20. And now here, 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Now notice, Paul is asking the church at Thessalonica to pray that the word of God, as he preaches it, will have free course and be glorified. Now see, it's one thing to pray that God will give you an open door, and it's another thing to pray that God will give you an open mouth. And when you've done those two things, you're not finished, because though they may be receptive to the gospel, and you're filled with the Spirit of God to preach, yet there is the necessity that the Word of God get from your mouth to their ear and heart. And there's a power, there's a personality that does all that he can, and he's got a lot of wicked spirits working with him who hinder the Word of God from having free course and being glorified. Now, most folks are amazed when they hear me, especially when they find out that I have had a course in homiletics. Yes, I certainly did. I had a course in homiletics. You say, what's homiletics? That is a study on the preparation and delivery of sermons. How to preach. Yeah. Yeah, I've had one of those, Brother Fritz. Yes. Now, a lot of folks, when I say that, they just kind of smile like, you know, that's doubtful. And then, those that do really believe it, they got the idea that somehow or other, I just probably failed. But no, I passed. You know, I found out something in that course that was a real blessing to me. I can't remember where it was, the teacher of the textbook, but they point out to me that preaching a sermon is like building a bridge. You see, I have information that I want to impart to you. God has done something for me and burdened my heart with something, and I want to impart that to you and bring you over to me in order that you'll do what I'm trying to get you to do. And therefore, my sermon must start here, and it must be like a bridge over to you, and then I get you and bring you over to me. Oh, I loved it. When I first read that, I loved that. I thought to myself, I need to get that song. You know that song about I'm building a bridge? And I need to sing that to myself before I get up to preach, and remind myself that I'm building a bridge to these folks out here, and I'm trying to bring them over to what I know and understand and God's done for me. And so I began bridge building. And I wasn't long into my bridge building until I found out that the textbook or the teacher, whoever, that they left out some very important information. They didn't tell me that the devil is a demolition expert. And while I'm building my bridge, he's setting charges to blow my little bridge up. Oh, I've been preaching sometimes, and I thought to myself, my AJ, you're doing wonderfully well today. And then all of a sudden, boom! What happened? Well, the devil got in. Oh, yes. Yes. We was meeting in one place first, very first service we had in this place called Nimbin. Brother Mike, Sister Marguerite's been there. At very first service, a fella came in, sat down in the back, and he started through his mumbo-jumbo, and all of his hissing like a snake and all of his satanic symbols. In fact, I think Mike, the first time Mike tried to hand out tracts in Nimbin, I believe it was the first time, Mike came to me and he said to me, he said, brother, he said, what does it mean when they come up to you and hiss and do this? I said, well, that there is the horns of the goat. That's a satanic symbol. And when they hiss like that, that just means they're putting a curse or a hex on you. I told Mike I hope he was immune to it. But it's different over there, isn't it, Mike? Brother Mike will tell you, he found out when he got there He wasn't in the Bible Belt. Harder to pray. Harder to read the Bible. Harder to preach. Hey, there's a power at work who'll hinder the Word of God from having free course. You know, the devil around here, he's not that bold or what would we say, as open. Here's a good way the devil likes to work around here, you know. He gets some young couple who's got a little Susie or a little Johnny, and they decide at a crucial point in the service, when it seems God's really working now, just at that point, they think that kid needs a good... Yeah. And Grandma and Grandpa's in the service. And you know, Grandma and Grandpa, they thought, they made you go get a peach tree limb and a hickory limb, and they beat you within an inch of your life. But they don't want you laying a hand on their grandkids. Oh, no. No, they've completely changed now, you see. And when you slapped that kid, you disrupted the service and you made Grandma and Grandpa mad. What's happened? Well, the devil, he's moved in and he's doing what he can to disrupt and hinder. Oh, yes. Oh, he's a tricky rascal. He knows how to work. Fella said to me, said, man, said, you don't think the devil can use us after we're saved, do you? I said, man, what rock you been living under? They used Peter in Matthew 16. Jesus was headed to Calvary, and Peter jumped in front of him and began to rebuke him, and the Lord said, get behind me, Satan. He realized that Satan was using Peter to hinder him from the will of God. The devil will use you and me and then sit on the sidelines and laugh about it. Yes, he will. I'm asking God to give me the very words that need to be preached in every situation, and then cause that message to have free course and be glorified. I ran across a verse, 1 Samuel 3:19. Been months ago now. Boy, it's been on my heart. The Bible said the Lord was with Samuel, that young man, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And I said, Lord, that's what I want you to do for me. Lord, give me that open door when I go back this time. Lord, give me an open mouth. Help me to preach with boldness like I've never preached before. And then, Lord, bless your word that it may have free course and be glorified. Will you pray to that end for us? We thank you for all you've done for us and are doing for us. I want to encourage you to pray those three things for me, especially in the next month. Lord, give AJ that open door. That open door. And Lord, give him an open mouth. And Lord, bless that word that it may have free course and be glorified. I believe if you'll pray to that end, I'll have good news to write back. I believe if you'll pray to that end here in this ministry here, that good things will happen for this church. God, open hearts today. Open our pastor's mouth as he preaches. May he preach boldly. And Lord, bless your word today as it goes out. May it have free course. May it be glorified. A lot of lost folks here this morning. Some lost folks here tonight. Oh, blind they are. Bound.